The Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from the Radio Theatre in London.
Mr. Parsons, I know it's a big school, and that being new, it can all be a bit daunting.
I suppose it is a bit.
Nevertheless, it is important that our rules are adhered to. In particular, Rule 3.
Rule 3, Headmaster?
Yes, it's the one about keeping the windows shut.
Oh.
6P are hovering over the science block and turning blue.
Sorry.
And on a similar note, if a child forgets his spacesuit for outdoor games, he is not to be made to do it in his vest and pants.
I understand.
Good day, Mr. Parsons.
School on the moon.
And for my main course, I'll have the bolognese with a side salad, John.
I'll have the margarita, please.
With a side salad, sir?
Sorry, can I just check? Is this on you, Peter?
Of course it is, John.
Side salad would be great, yes. And a proper pizza and garlic bread.
Very good, sir. I'll just get the wine.
So, Peter, what did you think of the final draft?
Why don't we eat first and talk later?
Well, let's get the formalities out of the way before the starters arrive. That's how we always do it.
Yes, John, there's something I need to tell you. We've known each other professionally and personally for some time, and I think honesty is the best course. I'm having an affair with your wife. Is a great title, but the book seems to go downhill from there.
Your wine, sir.
Thank you.
You don't like it?
I think it's awful.
I'm sorry, I'll get another bottle.
No, no, not the wine. The wine's fine. Now, John, I'm having an affair with your wife.
I'll leave you to it, shall I?
You really don't like it, then?
John, I'm having an affair with your wife is by far and away the worst thing you've produced in 15 years as an author.
Oh, come on, that's ridiculous.
Well, all right, there was the gentleman at the table next to me.
There's nothing wrong with the gentleman at the table next to me.
The gentleman at the table next to me stinks.
Eh?
Stinks of rotten, drink-sodden evenings spent alone in front of gay, pornographic videos with just a box of tissues for company.
I've never been so insulted in all my life.
I was going through a hard time. Mary had just walked out on me.
What's worse, no sooner had the gentleman at the table next to me come out.
I beg your pardon?
You started working on a sequel.
The lady at the table next to me
has a couple of well-structured parts and one exquisite passage, but that's not enough.
Which passage are you talking about?
The one where it all comes out. Everything she's done. It's a great passage, John. I still enjoy dipping into it from time to time myself.
Come on,
but
darling, we're leaving.
Your starters.
Thank you.
But what? What are you saying?
I'm saying I can't eat this pig's will.
Right.
Where are you going, Greaseball? Mm-hmm.
You told me to take it away.
Good titles, commercial disasters.
Good titles, commercial disasters? That's not one of mine.
No. All of these books were commercial disasters.
Oh.
I'm sorry, John, I can't risk any more of my company's money. Unless you can prove to me that there's a market out there for you, then I'm going to have to let you go.
Excuse me, sorry, are you John Phillips, the author?
Oh, yes, I am.
I knew it. You must be the least talented author I've ever had the misfortune to read. It's my favourite of yours, but I love them all. When's the next one coming out?
Thank you. Soon, I think. Wouldn't you say, Peter?
Yes, soon, very soon.
Hi, I'm Ken as Buster, and I sound a bit like Tony Blair.
Hi, I'm Mike Baker, and I sound a bit like Bill Clinton.
All right, I'm Tony Pear.
Now then, I'm Bill Frinton.
And their names sound a bit like Tony Blair and Bill Clinton. So between us, we're generally a bit like Tony Blair and Bill Clinton.
Ha!
Yes, ha indeed. And welcome once again to our now firmly established slot. Had a good week off, Mike?
Yeah, in fact, I've still got one.
Hang on, what on earth can you mean by that?
I've still got a wee cough.
See?
Well done, Mike. It worked in the office and it's worked again here. So, it's time to introduce this week's guests. And let me stress that this is a very special treat for us all. Ladies and gents, Please welcome none other than David Cox and Ian Grant. I said this was a special treat for all of us, but perhaps it's more of a special treat for the studio audience.
If that ain't the darnest thing I ever saw.
And it would seem, Mike, because, as I'm sure you've guessed, Dave and Phil look a bit like Tony Blair and Bill Clinton.
Hell, they look a lot like them.
No, they look a bit like them. That's the whole point. Tony and Bill, ask them some questions. Go on, fill your boots.
Dave, have you always looked like Tony Blair, or have you had any surgery?
No, I've always looked like this.
Right. Here we go, Bill.
Now then, Ian, have you always looked like Bill Clinton, or have you had any surgery?
I've always looked like this.
Oh, Mike.
Ken.
Brilliant! Well, we'll all be back next week, along with some more bloody confusing coincidences, I should imagine. In the meantime, say cheerio, folks!
Cheerio!
Cheerio, folks! Thank you, audience! Give me some theme!
Earnest recollections of a Nile cruise, spring 1910. I, John Adams, had taken time abroad to convalesce after an especially nasty bout of gunshot to the head. The cool breeze of the Egyptian evening was a cure for all my ills. The glow of bankside campfires and the songs of brethren ending their day's work must be the same the world over, as indeed seems to be the violence I encounter. For when inquiring into the possibility of requests, the hitherto jovial band leader took umbrage with my face and struck it wildly. The captain interceded and politely insisted that I spend the remainder of the cruise nailed to one of the ship's paddles. This was at least a refreshing improvement from my trip across the desert, attached by my neck via a rope to the back of a camel. That was the last time I had occasion to visit Egypt.
My question is, has the honourable gentleman had a chance to read the allegations in the Daily Express today?
Yes, yes.
Allegations that he was responsible for the sales of arms that led to over 1,000 civilian deaths in East Timor.
Now, I have had a chance to read the Daily Express today, and I saw no such allegations.
It was front page news, man.
Maybe I should explain. I read all the papers every day.
So maybe you saw the allegations repeated in The Guardian, The Mail, The Telegraph.
Well, let me finish. I read all of them, but I only look at the horoscopes and the funnies. So all I know is I will be lucky in love this afternoon, which is very good news, and that Garfield is a very naughty cat.
And now on Radio 4, Fellas Hour.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world.
All right, boys. Steve Davis here. Not the Steve Davis. Obviously, I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis, host of Fellas Hour. And tonight's show kicks straight off with Engine of the Week. And what an engine it is this week. A legend in the automobile trade. It's a Jaguar twin cam fuel injection V12. Let's have a listen. Record 6 minutes of that, you've got a double A-side number one single on your hands. It's like pouring warm honey into your ears. Let's hear it again.
Ha ha ha.
Very nice. Well, on with the show. Actually, have we got time for another one? No? Okay. Well, don't worry, listeners. We'll try and fit it in again during the show. In the meantime, on Fellas Hour, here's Jane Asher showing us how to make mince pies. Don't worry, we haven't lost our minds. She's doing it in the buff. Here we go.
Earnest recollections of Trafalgar Square, Armistice Day, November 1918. Oh, the unbridled joy that I, John Adams, felt on that day of days. My fellow shipmates from HMS Lyme Regis linked arms and danced by the great lions with gay abandon. The focus of a great empire. It was as though all the world was there. Some dancing, some singing, and someone plunging a Navy-issue knife between my ribs. Alas, I did not see his face, for I was at that time being held face down in one of the fountains. Such vivid memories. Happy faces, victorious flags, and a sea of crimson boots aimed inexpertly at my groin. I am somewhat sure that it was able seaman Jack Trott who bound my hands and feet, but I cannot be certain. For every time I turned my head to ask after his well-being, he poked me in the eyes. When dawn broke, we found ourselves back aboard ship, charged with the duty of policing the now peaceful world. Some manned the guns, others prepared for the departure, and I found myself alone with just my thoughts and a few rats locked in a box floating on the bilge water. That was the last time I had occasion to visit Trafalgar Square.
East End Ruby, singer-songwriter.
Hi, I'm Ted Ruby. You know, people often say to me, Ted, I think my young son has the potential to become a top singer-songwriter. What signs should he be exhibiting as he is to follow in your glorious footsteps? So I decided to make that the subject of this week's masterclass. How to spot a prodigy. Kids, eh? I love them. But I couldn't eat a whole one. Yeah, my old lady loves telling the story of when she first realized I was a genius. We had an old piano in our house, and when I was about 5 years old, she says I was messing around on it, trying to write a tune for my favorite nursery rhyme. And this is what she heard.
Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran the clock.
That clock struck one, the mouse was gone. Yeah, it was as simple as that. She knew from that moment I had something special. Yet a kid genius will always be the odd one out amongst his peers. I had a tough time at school. My precocious talent drove the kids wild. Na 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 na. But I also used my talent to get me out of trouble. When the other kids had me cornered in the schoolyard, I'd diffuse the situation by bursting into song. Would you really hit a kid with glasses? Come on, think about it. I'd forget about it if I were you. And anyway, my daddy's bigger than yours, and I'm perfectly prepared to tell. If your child is behaving in a similar fashion, half talking, half singing, you probably got a genius on your hands. However, if he hasn't had a chart success by the time he's 25, you've probably got a paranoid schizophrenic on your hands. I'd turn the bastard in if I were you, just to be on the safe side. I could do without the competition. None of this is true. I'm Ted Ruby. Good night.
Well, half-time, Colin, and a one-sided match.
Well, that's right, Brian. You know, the early sending off destroyed the game as a contest, and it's been one-way traffic since then, you know, and really, they could have had 6 or 7.
So, a one-sided match. They could have had 6 or 7, couldn't they? Goals.
Well, that's right, you know, they could have had 6 or 7. They've missed that many chances. In fact, it's, well, it's been very one-sided.
It's been one-way traffic, hasn't it, Colin, the match?
Well, that's right, Brian. You know, the early sending off destroyed the game as a contest, and really, you know, they could have had 6 or 7.
So, a one-sided first half, then. Hopefully it'll even up in the second half. What are your thoughts about that second half?
Well, hopefully it'll, you know, even up a bit. Actually, I have done another one of my poems, Brian.
Yeah, I thought you might have. Let's have it, then. Exclusive and live on this channel, by the way.
Right, well, it's inspired by the sending off, and it's about the footballer's great inner turmoil, you know, wanting to express his anger as an individual, but trying to behave in a way that's for the good of the whole team. I've called it simply, 10 Heroes and 1 Idiot. Come here and say that, you chippy little prat. Oh, Lord, please still my fists. Help me bite me lip, don't let me flip, smooth me path through descending red mists. For one bittersweet punch when it comes to the crunch could finish me team's title race. But I don't care, I'll grab hold of his hair and spread his nose right across his face, bum-bum. You know, for me, that was, you know, idiotic behaviour. And so angry was I that I've accompanied this poem with a little illustration of a fight.
Live and exclusive on this channel, Colin's poems now, with illustrations. Coming up after the break, Barry Venison gives us his impressions of the first half through the medium of contemporary dance. And I can tell you, that's well worth seeing. We'll be back after this.
Mr. Parsons, I couldn't help noticing how quiet assembly was.
Sorry, Headmaster.
Doors, man! Keep the bloody doors closed!
School on the moon.
And breathe in. 2, 3, 4, and out again. Let your mind empty itself of all stresses and strains.
Oh dear. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the manager, Miles Stokes, speaking. There is a fire raging through Hills End Community Centre. I am leaving through my personal emergency exit and will be unavailable for queries or bookings until further notice. If you consider your lives worth saving, then walk, don't run, to the main entrance, keeping to the left along any smoke-filled corridor.
Okay, try not to panic.
Okay, Gareth, switch off the alarm. Well done, Gareth. You've kept your job. Thank you for your attention. That was a fire drill. Those of you in the main hall may resume your meditation.
Okay, everyone, try to settle down. There we go. Now, where was I?
Actually, while I have your attention, I would like to remind patrons of one or two rules.
Is there any
way we can switch this thing off?
No, there isn't. And yes, I can hear you. There are microphones and cameras everywhere, relaying pictures back to my control room so I can record the acts of crass stupidity that take place daily in this community centre and send them off to that clown on You've Been Framed. Acts such as wearing black soles, dragging tables and guides.
Could we be allowed to get on? It's actually very dangerous to be disturbed in the middle of a trance.
No, it's actually very dangerous to lie on your backs with your eyes closed and your clothing loosened in the same room as a New Age charlatan messiah with a string of offences as long as his libido.
You what?
I'm talking about you, Buddha boy. I wonder what your disciples would say if I told them you'd done the time.
But I haven't.
I know, which is why I'm not going to tell them that. I don't lie. But the fact is, you could have been, for all they know, and that is why I'm banning you from my community centre. Gareth, if you're listening to this, and if you're not, then you're fired. Can you escort the next David Koresh from the premises before he turns it into a blazing inferno stroke unlicensed brothel? The rest of you stay where you are, I'm coming in.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Miles Stokes. I am your new god. Nice to meet you after all this time. I do find the tannoy so impersonal.
Will you get out?
Gareth, that's your man.
I've got him! I must warn you, I'm trained in martial arts! Ow!
Right, yoga position 1, down on your backs and legs in the air so the soles of your feet are clearly visible. Right, you're banned.
Why?
Black soles, you idiot! You're banned, you're banned, you're banned, you're not banned, but you can get out anyway! You're all banned!
The
rioting in the Laos capital of Vientiane is now into its fifth day. Law and order has broken down completely, and it looks now as if this could mean the end of their entire political system. Henry Payne has been there since the beginning. He's with one of the leaders of the pro-democratic movement responsible for the riots, and he can talk to us now. Henry.
Hiya!
Hi. Henry, you managed to get to the very epicentre of the trouble almost immediately. How did you manage that?
I started it.
You started it?
Well, yeah, sort of. I mean, it was just a bit of a fight in a pub to start off with. Then it sort of spread, you know.
Why did you start it?
Well, there were 30 of us in this bar, right? And we wanted it to stay open, and the two barmen wanted to close up for the night. Well, if that had been a democratic election, they'd have lost their deposit. So we sort of helped ourselves, you know.
Well, look, however you think it may have started, it has now become a battle for power that is affecting the whole of the Far East. Could we speak to the pro-democracy leader?
Yep, speaking.
You are the pro-democracy rebel leader.
Yeah, this one's harder to explain.
Try.
All right, well, you see, we got a bit tanked up in that boozer, and somebody, I think it was one of the Kims, he suggested breaking into the armory, then going round encouraging the other bars to adopt more democratic opening hours. Anyway, that proved to be very popular with the locals, so next thing you know, we're on top of barricades drinking Molotov cocktails.
No, I think you mean throwing Molotov cocktails.
No.
Right, so this whole civil war is in aid of you being able to get a drink at 11:15.
Not 11:15, mate, 10:15. This place was in a right state. It was like Hitler's Germany, I should think. Anyway, look, I've got to go. I've got a meeting with the Vietnamese about getting some military support. Great drinkers, that lot. I reckon it could be an all-nighter. Ta-da!
Yeah, ta-da. Henry Payne there. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. And for want of a beer, Henry Payne started one of the bloodiest conflicts of the 20th century.
Mr. Parsons, I'm hereby banning you from taking any more school trips to Venus. Is that understood?
Yes, Headmaster.
We're very low on children, Mr. Parsons.
I'll pop out and have a look round.
Space suit, man! Space suit!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back those crazy stars of Britain's favourite medicine-based sitcom from the 70s. Firstly, Mr. Norbert Bucketson.
Who's in the hospital?
You are!
I am.
He is. Secondly, King of the Pratfall, Mr. Dickie Whoops.
Oi, oi! Oh, go!
Oh, dear! And finally, that man of 1,000 voices, Mr. Bertie Bufton.
Leave it, sister!
Who was that supposed to be, Bertie?
It's an angry nun.
Which one? Julie Andrews?
No.
Well, which famous nun was it, then?
Dunno.
I thought you did impressions.
No.
Never mind, never mind. The gang's all here, so it's time once again for Who's in the Hospital?
And I said to her, a pint? A pint? And all I get's a cup of tea, a biscuit and a quick lie down? That is an absolute outrage. Well, no, I suppose you're right, Mrs. Kildare. No one forced me to become a sperm donor. Thanks for ringing. Bye-bye. Who's in the hospital?
You are!
I am. Come on in.
Oi, oi!
I say, you're in a hurry, surgeon. What's the matter?
I've just finished an operation and I've left my watch inside the patient.
Well, that's no reason to run away. You must go back and remedy your mistake.
Oh, God. I've left my watch on. I've still got my watch on. Oh, come on. Never mind.
Never mind. You must reopen your patient. That's assuming you remember to stitch him up in the first place.
I'm going
to
be on bleeding Dennis Norton for it. Watch on.
No, surgeon, this is outrageous. Your patient may never wake up.
Of course he will. My alarm goes off in 5 minutes, but I've got it up.
No, you're clearly not taking this seriously enough. What we need is another doctor.
You like me scarf? It's made out of dead Daleks. And it's far too big for me because I'm eccentric and I can travel through time.
Ah, Doctor.
Oh, that's right. I've been Doctor Who. You got one. It's a cracking impression of Doctor Who.
No, listen, Doctor. You must help
me. What's the matter with
him? Dickens left his watch inside a patient.
What? Exterminate! Exterminate! You like that one, didn't you? He likes my gang this week. Exterminate! Go on!
Doctor!
I'm being a Dalek! That's right!
What? You must show us what to do.
Who wants to see my pants?
Bertie, no!
That was Who's in the Hospital, starring Norbert Buckinson, Dickie Whoops and Bertie Bufton. Join us next week when Dickie gets his forceps out in reception.
Show me bloody watch on.
Order has been re-established in Vientiane, Laos, and the government is beginning to count the cost in lives of the recent troubles. On the telephone, we're very lucky to have the new president of Laos. Mr. President, we believe that this station, through its reporter Henry Payne, may have played some small part in the troubles, and for that, we apologise.
Well, it's very kind of you, but there's really no need.
Henry.
Hello.
Hello. Tell me they haven't made you president of Laos.
They haven't made me president of Laos.
Oh, God, that's a relief. What's happened?
They've made me president of Laos.
Henry. You can't be president of Laos.
I'm the president. I can be whatever I like. I call this a banana daiquiri because I don't. New law, anyone makes a bad banana daiquiri gets shot. Sorry about that. Affairs of state. What's the time?
Henry, look, it's 10:15 in the evening, so your time, it's
probably... No, it's the same here as in London. I've had it changed. Anyway, that means I've got to go. We're invading Cambodia at closing time.
Why?
Oh, they've got better kebab shops.
Henry Payne, if you spent your whole life working as a human cannonball, you couldn't be more fired than you are now.
The Butter Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Sutton, Tim Verinder, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The producer was Maria Esposito.
All right, boys. Apparently the programme underran by 10 seconds. What a bit of luck. Very nice. Ta-da!